Welcome to DT Madness, Chronicles from the Third Life, Episode 85, March 23rd, 2024. So glad you could make it. I am aware that you can hear all the shuffling at the beginning, me situating my AirPods and turning the volume up and all that kind of stuff here in the high-tech Nook studio. But welcome to DT Madness, first spring edition, here on a kind of rainy day, rainy Saturday. I don't want to, it's a trigger warning, I guess, for those of you who separate your laundry, if you do whatever separating your laundry means, delicates or whites and the different colors and all that, because I'm not really a separator. And so you're going to have to bear with this question if that's something that's your burden. But this question is, if you're putting in a load of laundry, say you have a couple, do you want to throw some towels in? Do you want to mix it up? You know, you could have one load of just regular clothes, shirts, pants, and such, and then one load of fully just towels. Obviously, the benefit is the towels load is going to be way easier to fold. However, do you want to mix it up and go half towels in each load to kind of break up the full loading, the full folding of the full clothes load? It's a real question to think about. Since we last met here in the madness, my Wordle streak ended, and it really was a sad day. I had 220 in a row, and I can't even remember the word. It was one of those where I had it all but one letter, and it could have been, you know what, I do remember the word. It was hunch, and I had a hunch that it was hunch at the end, and I didn't go with it. I don't know what I went with. Lunch, maybe, or bunch, punch, so many different options. But I definitely felt deflated after that Wordle streak. I've got it going again. I'm back up to 16, you know, but what do? You just got to pick yourself back up, you know, and keep going. I just finished the latest book 12 of 2024, and this one was The Many Lives of Mama Love, and I highly recommend it. Laura Love Harden, it's her memoirs. I don't even want to say much about it because I don't want to ruin any of it for you, and so it's just really fantastic, and it was good. I was going to read the next Ken Follett book. This one's set, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's set in the Middle Ages during the plague. But the copy I got from a used bookstore is just, the words are so tiny, and I don't know, I'm getting old, man. One of these days I'm going to go to the eye doctor. But yeah, the new Oprah book was really just fantastic. I'd been checking, I mean, all the time, even though I'm on the mailing list, waiting for Oprah to put her stamp on this first book of 2024. And it just is really good. I thought about getting a recliner for back here in the Nook or another footstool. I rearranged a little bit, trying to declutter because that's a thing. And I moved my chair facing a different way, but I do like to put my feet up, especially in the morning, you know, especially first thing in the morning. And eventually I've just changed it back. I've got a new book stand here with my lamp on it. And so I guess I don't need the footstool now because I can put my feet back up on the counter where they belong. I don't want to get too much into politics today, but I do want to make sure that if, especially if you're in North Carolina, I really hope that you will be more than just a voter. I hope you'll be active this time. We could talk about Mark Robinson, governor. If maybe later, I'm sure we will. Plenty of issues there. But the North Carolina superintendent race, the superintendent for public schools, the person that maybe it's Morrow, I can't remember, the person that won the Republican nomination isn't in favor of public schools. All her kids are homeschooled, and that's fine. I mean, homeschool is fine. I've got no problems with any of that. I just, if you're going to be the superintendent of public schools and you call them like socialization chambers or indoctrination centers or whatever, and also you were at the January 6th march with your kids, and also you've called for the public execution of Democrat lead, like Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Roy Cooper and others. Yeah, I hope we'll be really active this time to make sure that if nothing else, we don't elect her to some better politics where most people's trust lies is in local government. And I did get to give the state of the town address at our yearly annual, there it is, strategic planning session. I planned that thing out. I wrote it out in about 30 minutes right before we went because I forgot they were going to video it. But it is, you can find it on Facebook and on my Instagram. It's on the Boiling Springs Facebook page and all that kind of stuff. 7 minutes of glory. A lot of ums in there because I was not quite prepared. And I always do get nervous for those kinds of things. But we do have a lot going on, reshaping our courtyard and creating a kind of a public space, a public courtyard with some really cool stuff where we're going to have our music series, Music on Main, and Hannah's Coffee Shop is underway. It's under contract now. It's under lease. And so within the year, I hope we'll have the courtyard running. I'll be able to just walk to Hannah's from my house and grab my large Americano that they know I'm going to get, which makes me glad because they know I'm going to get it. Yeah, really, really exciting about that. We had to deal with some with the insurance company this week. As Sarah was driving to work a couple of days ago, a deer hopped out in front of her. I guess a guy told her that sometimes they sleep in the ditch on the side of the road, but Isaac and I find that we chuckle about that image, I guess. But either way, the deer darted out right in front and just smashed the front end of the Toyota Sienna, the 2016 Sienna that we've been rolling with, that we've taken on several trips. And so the Sarah was okay. No, injuries or anything like that, just shaking a little bit. But it totaled the van. The repair costs were estimated at around $9,000, and that's whatever more than 85% of the value and such as this. And so we're gonna do the total loss deal with the insurance, and they've been really good to work with, and I feel like it was fair from all the research that I do because I'm a big car guy. But yeah, so in the meantime, I will be driving my dad's old truck. It's a Dodge Ram, which, brings some emotional weight with it, driving the old man's truck. I'll definitely have to blast Willie Nelson the first voyage that I take in it. Sarah's been driving it this week while we get ready to switch over. But it'll be a whole new image for me too, a whole new vibe because I've been rolling in the 22 Camry with my super cool wheels and the big screen and the backup camera and all that kind of stuff. And so it will definitely change the vibe. But it'd be nice to have a truck. I got some stuff I need to haul away anyway. And it'd be good to remember the old man as I'm driving. But yeah, anyway, speaking of vibes, I have not seen widespread panic in concert since 2019 in Wilmington when I took Sam to see his first show, but they announced a run in Asheville this summer, and It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're just going to go for the Thursday only, trying to get the old crew back together. I mean, Widespread Panic was Second Life, man. I mean, the whole decade, the whole thing. And from, I don't know, 2 decades, I guess. And over 100 shows. And I love the band. They've changed. The drummers are different, because Todd Nance passed away, and of course Mikey passed away, but that was a long time ago. But I'm excited to get to see the crew. I don't really even know the new music from Widespread Panic, and the little bit I've sampled, it's not really doesn't really strike me much. But it will be awesome to be in Asheville, because that's kind of the heart of the Widespread Panic scene for me. So that's going to be fun to do. And then the week after that, we are headed up to Deer Creek. Sarah and I are going up to Deer Creek in Noblesville, Indiana, where my Fish 2.0, or whatever era, this is my own personal era, second run, began in 20, what was that, 2022, I guess. I'm so excited to go up there for a 3 day run to end the summertime and then get ready for the next school year, which will be Sydney's senior year. Wow, man, that's crazy. I have no idea why I have Cornflower Blue on this list. I don't remember what we were talking about. I don't remember if it was a Jeopardy question. It could have been. We've been watching a lot of Jeopardy, especially when the Tournament of Champions was going. But I do like Cornflower Blue, and I think that I would choose it out of all of the blues that were in that 64 pack with the little crayon sharpener on the back. So I don't know what your favorite blue is, but I do like the Blue Demons now. I've been a Duke Blue Devils fan, or I was a long time. I still pull for them. I still find myself hoping that they win when I watch the March Madness. But I've been a Butler fan, and then I'm not a Butler fan anymore. And then I was an Ohio State fan, all in basketball, because of my guy Chris Holtmann. And Chris Holtmann was fired at Ohio State this season, and but he just got a new job in DePaul, or with DePaul, which is in Chicago, the DePaul Blue Demons, and they were awful. They were like 3-29. So this is a huge rebuilding project for Chris and his staff. But I'm a Blue Demons guy now because I follow Chris and he's my guy. Isaac has now completed driver's ed and the written examination, and now has his driver's permit. He's not done a whole ton of driving. In fact, I think he's only driven once. We've been in the midst of tennis season, and he's not quite got his confidence for driving. We're going to go tomorrow some. He does like to hug the white line, especially when an approaching car comes, which I understand that. His driver's ed teacher told him that you got to keep it between the mayonnaise and the mustard, and he definitely prefers the mayonnaise in terms of the white line over the yellow line. But pretty crazy that he is driving now, and I'm excited to ride along with him as he gains a little bit more confidence. And we did some college visits. We did a couple of college visits with Sydney. She rocked out the ACT, and of course her grades. I think she's currently right at the top of her class. And so we went to Furman and we went to Wofford. Furman was in a massive thunderstorm, so we didn't get to ride around on the golf carts that they usually take you on. And we did walk around, and we were getting soaked. They did have purple ponchos for us, and that was cool. And it was just really first class stuff. I really, really liked Furman, other than the price tag. Obviously, we'll have to get some type of financial assistance. Hopefully a full ride, which is not out of the realm of possibility for the baby girl, but I really did like it. I think Sydney really did like it. It's small. Classes are capped at 25. The professor to student ratio is like 10 to 1, somewhere around in there. They have great summer internship programs. Just really good stuff. Amazing labs for chemistry, which is what Sydney's interested in doing. We went to Wofford as well the same day. Very similar in structure. We didn't quite get the same vibe from Wofford, but I think there was a variety of reasons or variables that could have played into it. Like that we retired, we retired the different tour guides that were there, and all that kind of stuff. We did see a bunch of frat people, excuse me, and sorority people, and they were like, "Oh my God, taking their photos for this formal that was coming up," and that's not really the vibe we were looking for. So we're gonna go back and visit, I think, again, at least informally, just to get a second feel for it. We got some other ones coming up. Elon coming up next week, and then we'll do, or a couple weeks, and then we'll do Davidson, and then we're gonna do UNC Wilmington. We'll check on the living situation is going to be a huge deal. She would prefer not to do the communal living, as all of us, I think, would prefer not to do the communal living, but maybe that's a rite of passage. I'm not sure. But UNCW, I think, is still high up in the ranking, other than that it's pretty far away, but it does have the ocean. So we'll see how this process unfolds. I do know that sitting in the introductory part at Furman, with sitting beside Sydney, drinking my locally brewed coffee that they had for us, with my Furman coffee cup that they had for us. The student that was a part of admissions, I don't know what she said. She just said something like, "This is your choice. You don't have to listen to anybody else. You can college. You do your thing, and you choose what you want." And I don't know if that's what they said or if it was just the moment, but man, I was just sitting there with my daughter, who is on the verge of choosing colleges in the next year, and I was just about to sob out loud. Like, I mean, my eyes welled up with tears. Like that whole thing that happens in your chest where you're trying to breathe it back down. And whew, I kept it in, but it was close. It was close. But anyway, college visits are a thing. I have not been to the Living Lotus in a while because of tennis. I'm doing the tennis coaching now, and I would typically go on Mondays at 4 p.m. to Living Lotus, and I told my person Sarah that I wanted to take a break. I did want to meet one more time, to kind of wrap things up in this time period, but then I don't. Some things happened. She got sick, and then. So we had to postpone the meeting, and then I couldn't work it out with my tennis schedule. And so anyway, it's going to be another until the first week of April, where I kind of have this first phase wrap up meeting, until, I don't know, until we decide that it's a good time to start back. I don't think I'm done with my work. And I know that that's true, because when I read the love songs of W.E.B. Du Bois, or DuBose, however you say it, I was like, seriously triggered, and my nervous system was just a complete wreck for a couple of days as I finished that very difficult book to read, but amazing book to read. And so I don't think that my work is done, but I have written reflections on this first 13, 14 months of this journey into my healing. And one of the things that I've realized is that I am much more comfortable. I am much more at peace now that I don't know, now that my story isn't one that I have to keep to myself. Which, hey, you should read The Many Lives of Mama Love, by the way. And but one of the sponsors of the podcast here is the Magic Rock times two. But one of those is, I'm going to return it. I've been trying to think about what I could give to my person, Sarah, at Living Lotus, who has been such an amazing therapist and counselor for me. I thought about getting her one of those succulents, but everybody buys succulents for people now. Isn't it? But anyway, I thought about something that would be a little bit more meaningful, and I've talked about it a bunch. Like, the process that I'm undergoing with her is heavily based on sensory motor therapy, and so many things, the rope of relationship, like whatever, like I've done tug of war, which is what that's based on. I've pushed things with my feet, and thrown pillows, and had hot and cold things on my knees and on my feet, and whatever, like just a whole bunch of, I've breathed myself bigger and scrunched myself up. Like, I've done a whole bunch of things to allow my body to release the things that it's been processing for all these years. And one of the early things was, she had me hold this rock in my hand, and to hold it out until like it became a burden, you know, until it was really difficult to hold on to as you're holding your arm out, and then to release it, because that was at that point it was a symbol or a representation of the burden that I feel to be a protector for my kids, to try to solve all of their problems, that I was holding their burdens, which should be their burdens and not particularly mine, in that way. And I dropped that rock, and it's just one of those things that this particular therapy for me, it's almost an immediate recognition, but also an immediate release, like the physical aspect of it all. And so I've kept that rock in my car. And I'm gonna return that rock to her, because not necessarily as a gift for her, unless she decides to keep it, but so that she can use that rock for someone else that might be coming in. I don't remember what the reference is for the verse that is in the Bible, but you know, when God gives us comfort, and he, and God comforts us in that way, so that we can give others that same comfort. And so I think about it in that way. And so the magic rock times two, the times two will be returned, here in just a couple of days. And I'm glad about that. And you know, I don't, again, I don't want to give it away. I don't even want to read it, because I want you to experience it, except for I did post it on my Instagram story for those of y'all who are my Insta followers. That's funny to say, but you should read The Prayer Before the Prayer by Bishop Tutu. And I don't even want to say anything else about it. I just think you should read it and let it soak over you and think about it. But okay, maybe just one quote. Is there a place where we can meet? You and me, the place in the middle, the no man's land where we straddle the lines, where you are right and I am right too, and both of us are wrong and wronged. Can we meet there and look for the place where the path begins, the path that ends when we forgive supplies? But the whole thing, man, it's just really something. So anyway, maybe I could have done, you know, a tea time tomorrow there. Certainly so. But that invitation tomorrow is becoming such a common occurrence that we're, it's no longer delineated, maybe. So I don't need the delineating music, although it is nice, isn't it? I've been looking up how to say student of the month in Spanish. I have a student in my class that really doesn't speak much English at all and doesn't understand. She's got some cool technology where she can take a picture of any worksheet or anything like that that I hand out to her, and I think it automatically it definitely automatically translates the written words for her, but it but I think also she has an audio connector to that where she can understand what I'm saying. There's another student in the class that helps translate with her as well, but she asked through this other student a week or so ago if she could go to the library to catch up on math, because that's one she's really having a difficult time with. And I of course said yes, because she's doing very well in my civics class, and like very well in my civics class. You understand what I'm saying? Like someone who doesn't speak English, who isn't who hasn't been here in our culture, in our society, in our system long, and does way better than many of these other students who would put her in a category of that she doesn't belong. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm increasingly getting fired up about those types of things, and maybe I'm growing a spine for the first time in a while. But anyway, as she was going to the library, I told her one of the very few phrases that I know in Spanish, which is hasta mañana, and I'll see you tomorrow. And she it just immediately brightened her up that there was this line of communication between us, which, you know, that's a real thing. So I'm going to nominate her for Student of the Month for March, but I want to be able to tell her that. And so I'm working on how to tell her that. And one of my other students in my first period class is going to help me, in my second period class, I mean. is going to help me with that. But I love teaching, man. I really do. I just love teaching and the connection that I get to make with these kids and to let them know that they've got advocates, you know, they got people on their side. And I love coaching tennis. I really do. Coaching the boys, like being the assistant to the coach this time, has really helped me to like recognize different patterns and pathways to making those communication lines open. Like even my own son, he gets really fiery during a match and he gets really angry. And talking to him during the match isn't going to help much, but he is listening and he is learning. It just, the process needs to take place for now, 30 minutes after the match. Now, that's something that he needs to work on as well. And we've talked about that. And we've talked about the fact that the main opponent in tennis, especially in singles, because singles is a very lonely island. Tennis singles is just you. I mean, your opponent's out there, but people are watching you. There's no way, like, there's some coaching that happens, but you know, there aren't timeouts. There aren't ways to get off the court. You have to correct things in the midst of the game on your own. And that's not just physical. In fact, it's probably more mental than anything. And so I have ordered this book about the inner game of tennis, and the because the mental game is a real thing. And coaching the mental game is something that I really want to learn. It's going to help me too. And it's why I tell them tennis is life. This is not just about overcoming. You know, winning and losing is a thing, right? Winning and losing is a thing because we keep score. And the competition that that breeds is great. It makes us better. It sharpens us. But ultimately, it's about the way you play the game. It's a beautiful game. The angles and the grace and the pace. You know, the delicate shots and the power shots, and you could translate all of that into living life. And doubles is a whole different kind of game. And so dealing with that mental toughness and helping these 15-year-olds, it's a team full of freshmen, really, with a couple of juniors mixed in. But it is a beautiful game, and I did get a bucket hat because I do like to have the suntan, but I don't want to catch the Noma, you know, and so. I did get a pretty sweet bucket hat, and I've been wearing it out, and it's pretty intimidating. I have to admit, it's pretty intimidating. So, definitely going to become a staple of the tennis coach life. I do have to report that yesterday I was able to go to the third hole on my belt loop, where I'm usually on the second hole, and that was pretty big deal because I gained a pretty significant amount of weight after my dad passed away. I blame that pineapple casserole that those ladies had made because it was so good. And then I get addicted. Like, you should read The Many Lives of Mama Love, but my addiction to escape is a real thing. And it's taken on many forms. And it takes on the form of sugar a lot of times. And I'm really trying to battle against that. And so I looked up workout routines for beginners. And I can't remember if I told Isaac it was from Woman's Day magazine, and he got a good chuckle out of that. Although I'm definitely in my middle-aged woman era, but it's from Today. And so I found a nice little walk this many minutes a day and do some light upper body and lower body. And I'm really getting back into it, even though my arm, my deltoid attachment is bothering me in my right arm because of whenever I hurt it. I've been trying to go to Carolina Chiropractor to get some lasers and stuff, and that's been working pretty good. It's getting better, but it's still there, and it's been a little bit. But I've been doing the walking. I've been doing the walking in during school, during my planning period. I'll go and I'll walk for 30 minutes, and then come back and eat my lunch, and really getting in my steps, and that amplifies tennis practice and stuff like that. And so I've been dropping the few LBs, and you know. Even if it was in Woman's Day, that would be fine. I'm a huge fan of women. I was a feminist probably before it was cool. Like it's Women's Month, right? March. And so like I've read a couple things on this, but as best I can tell, this act that was created in 1974 is the first time that women could really open up a bank account in the USA without being married. You know, without their husband or whatever co-signing. 1974, y'all. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, with the exercise routine, I really have been eating way better for the most part. The weekends I do not as good. Like I do check, and I have Googled, is it okay to eat ice cream every night? Of course, the one thing says to not to, but then I found a site that said it was good for you to do that because the hormone that it releases makes you feel happy, and that's where I stopped my research because who wants to know about confirmation bias? And I do love vanilla ice cream. So good. But I've been eating the Buddha bowls or whatever you call them. Like I've been eating with the grain, the brown rice, or you know, with some what kind of beans are those called? The ones you put in chickpeas, you know, and I'm a radish eater and I've been eating massaged kale and there's no kale like massaged kale. And whatever, like the sauces is tahini sauce with whatever in it or lime avocado with Greek yogurt. Like I'm eating healthy with little carrot shreds, avocado, pickled jalapeno. I've got back into pickled jalapenos too. But I found this place called, or I was told about this place called Cava, I think is how you say it, Cava. And there's a couple in Asheville, and I guess the closest ones are in Charlotte. And so I do hope to go up and try that at some point. I looked into pho, but I'm not really, I don't, we'll see. But I did look up ice cream every night. But I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I also looked up the best blog platform. I've been a blogger before. I've gotten back into Facebook a little bit, posted some things. I've stayed pretty constant on Instagram. I do want to offer up the things that I think as self important as that is. I do want to share with people what I think and how I think about it and the struggles that I go through. I think that's been a really great thing about DT Madness. It's just been so choppy here lately. I haven't kept up a very good pattern of putting out the episodes. And the bill is coming due. Last year it was $108 for the year, which again I know is less than $10 a month, not that big of an issue, and the money isn't the problem, although perhaps I could find some anonymous donors out there who would be willing to kick in because of you know their need for the DT Madness. I kid. But maybe you're out there, you know, and I appreciate you. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to make the decision. Perhaps this could be the next to last episode. I'll at least do one more before April 2nd when the bill comes due. And I don't know. I have been wanting to get into writing. I need to get into writing. I got to figure out the time to carve that out. I'm going to get into learning some Spanish. And so the hours that I don't have right now, I've got to figure out where they are so that I can add these things in. Because I want to use whatever power I have, which isn't much, but whatever power I have, I want to use it to shine a light on others. By the way, you should read The Many Lives of Mama Love. It's really good. I think it was, I forget which philosopher quote it was, you know, but it was a really good one, and it relates back to my desire to get a tattoo of Esse Quam Videre, but I just leave you with this quote. In order to be, try to never seem. Well, this has been a Church of Six production brought to you by the Bucket of Life, by the Rope of Relationship, by the Foundation Tower of Stone, the Wall of Belief, which I've got a bunch of 15-year-olds coming over here today, a bunch of them on the tennis team, and I might have to introduce them to the Wall of Belief to begin that mental game. By the token of hope and by the magic rock times one received and one given. Nothing divine is desperate, And may all your circumstances serve to awaken compassion. And as you go, teach peace. Don't forget to believe, y'all, and be live. Grace and peace, my friends.